Everyone, we're going to make a wee start just to our prayer meeting tonight. Anybody got a favourite hymn you like to sing? Just shout out the number, please. 523 in your hymn book. 523 in your hymn book. 523 in your hymn book. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter under the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. A great hymn reminding us of the great need to be up and doing for the Lord. For the Bible tells us that the night cometh when no man can work. 523, we'll make this our opening hymn. We'll stand as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. And as we sing. Just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord for his help and blessing this evening. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we gather afresh before thee this evening hour, in and through the Saviour's precious and worthy name, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach unto thee. And Father, we thank thee afresh for him tonight who is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank thee, Father, for his precious blood that he shed, that blood of sprinkling that speak of better things than that of Abel's. And Father, we thank thee for that new and that living way that Christ has opened up for us at the cross. We thank thee tonight for the rent veil of Calvary, and that we can draw nigh to thee, none daring to make us afraid, knowing, O God, that we're accepted in the Beloved, that thy word declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We thank that Christ has died, that on the cross he cried out, "It is finished." We thank thee for that once for all, a sacrifice for sin. And we rejoice, O God, tonight as thy people in the joy of sins forgiven and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit himself who abides within. And Father, we thank that we rejoice also as thy people in the great hope of glory, heaven itself. Father, do bless our coming together here tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us last evening. We thank thee for help given in the time of prayer. But Lord, we dare not rest upon past blessings. We need Thee afresh tonight and more than ever. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt abide with us tonight. Outpour Thy Spirit upon us. Bless our hearts around Thy Word for a little while. And then, Lord, as we come to pray, Lord, just lead us out, each one, in true believing prayer. Lord, we would say to Thee, like the disciples of old, Lord, teach us to pray. And lay upon our hearts the things that Thou would have us to pray for. And we do rejoice, O God, tonight that it is no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. We thank Thee for all who've been able to come tonight. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Remember every home and family represented. Do bless our homes and unite all our family circles in the Lord. Remember, Lord, those unable to be with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. Father, we pray that Thou would bless them especially, and others who've suffered loss in recent times, Lord, do comfort their hearts. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for the meeting tonight out at Tresna. Bless the boys and girls there who have heard Thy word, and speak on to their hearts this night, O God, and for those that were in unsaved, that they might be made wise unto salvation. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, O God, ministry meetings, gospel missions on at this time. We pray for every faithful ambassador for the Lord, that Thou would bless the going forth of the Word of God, and that Thou would visit our land in mercy and in grace in these days in which we live. Close us in, Lord, now with Thyself. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood of the Lamb. Cleanse our hearts afresh in the Savior's precious blood. Outpour Thy Spirit, we pray. Do every heart good. And in all that is said and done tonight, bring glory and honor unto our Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 22. Turning to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 22. You'll find Ezekiel just in the latter part, really, of the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 22, and we're reading from verse 23 of the chapter to the end. While you're looking it up, we want to welcome everyone tonight. It's good to see so many gathered along this evening for the time of prayer. We really appreciate you coming and pray God will bless you tonight around God's Word, and especially as we gather for prayer. Remember the meetings as they continue, tomorrow night again for the hour, and Thursday night. And then do remember the meetings on Friday night in your prayers, the children's meeting, the youth fellowship, and then the meetings here in the Lord's Day morning, the evening, and then the Lord's table also after the morning meeting. Ezekiel chapter 22 and the verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading of his precious word to all our hearts. I want us just to think very briefly about verse 30 there before we get down to prayer. It says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. In this chapter, Ezekiel tells of God's judgment that was to come upon Jerusalem for its sin and its departure from the Lord. This judgment of God would mean 70 years of captivity for the nation of Israel in the land of Babylon. But before judgment comes, God speaks in mercy. And we see that mercy here in verse 30, where he says, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God's judgment is stayed for a season, while the Lord himself searches for one who will pray, one who will plead for God, plead with God to save the land from destruction. Indeed, such words really highlight the responsibility that concerned the Lord's people at this time. And that same responsibility applies to God's people today. Yes, God, yes, is looking. God, yes, is searching for those who will intercede for the land, pray for the salvation of souls, and pray for the church of Christ. And as we would consider this verse, just highlighting this responsibility of God's ancient people, Israel, three things to note very briefly from this verse. Notice the meaning here of Israel's responsibility. The Lord says, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. God was looking for those who would pray for Jerusalem and Israel to be spared. Because of sin, there was now a gap in the hedge of protection around the city of Jerusalem and Israel at that time. Thus, the land was ripe for judgment. However, God says here, if he finds one to bridge the gap, he will spare the land. And today also, dear people, God is still looking for his people to stand in the gap and pray. He wants you and I to pray for the salvation of sinners. The Bible says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He wants us to pray for the reviving of his church. And the psalmist could say, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? He wants us to pray for the healing of our land from sin and its departure from the Lord. We turn back there to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And verse 14, we see there how that healing of the land starts with the Lord's own people. For the Lord says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, he says, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal the land. Brethren and sisters in Christ, yes, the Lord is looking for you and I tonight to stand in the gap, especially in the place of prayer. Notice secondly here the failure of Israel regarding this particular responsibility. Notice what the Lord says at the end of our verse. After that search, he makes this comment. At the end of verse 30, he says, But I found none. In other words, there was none in ancient Israel to stand in the gap and to pray for its deliverance at this time. Turn back there to Ezekiel chapter 13 and the verse number 5. Just notice there what the Lord says about his ancient people at this time. He says, You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. And by the prayerlessness here of ancient Israel, it really shows that they had drifted from the Lord. It shows their indifference to the coming judgment of the Lord upon the nation. And brethren and sisters in Christ, let us not be like ancient Israel on this occasion who left off prayer, who would not stand in the gap. Also, let us not be like Peter and James and John who were sleeping. The Bible says in the Garden of Gethsemane when they should have been praying, for the Lord spoke to them and he said, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?
Rather, may we be like Moses of old, when God was going to consume ancient Israel for its sin and worshiping the golden calf. We read in the Bible that Moses stood in the gap and he prayed that God would spare the nation. It says, and Moses besought the Lord his God. Moses was one who stood in the gap. Notice one final thought here, just in connection with this verse. Notice the outcome of Israel's failure to stand in the gap and pray. What was the outcome? Well, the outcome was that Israel went into judgment, into bondage, into captivity. There was destruction in the land, and especially in the city of Jerusalem, because there was none to stand in the gap. Look at verse 30, verse 31 together. The Lord says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And there you see how ancient Israel, they reaped the whirlwind of God's judgment upon them because they had sown much to sin. The Bible says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And by the outcome, yes, would have been different if God had found one standing in the gap and praying for the land and praying for the nation. But alas, God says, I found none. Brethren and sisters in Christ, do we not here see surely the importance of prayer? People, it's vital for us as a church to pray for ourselves as a church. It's vital to pray for others, saved and unsaved alike. It is vital for us to pray for our land and for our nation, that it might know days of reviving and reformation and a turning to the Lord. Turn with me back to Psalm 106, Psalm 106, and go down there to verse number 23 of Psalm 106. And here we see how the prayer of Moses meant the saving of ancient Israel. And there you see the importance of prayer. We can talk, yes, about God's sovereignty, but there's man's responsibility, there's the believer's responsibility, and our responsibility, dear people, is to pray. Look at verse number 23 of Psalm 106. It says, therefore he, that's the Lord, said that he would destroy them, destroy ancient Israel. Then look at the next statement. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Moses stood in the gap. Moses stood in the breach. And God turned away his wrath, and God answered his prayer and spared the nation, spared the people. You think tonight in history of the miracle of Dunkirk in the early days of World War II. And this was God answering the prayers of God's people at that particular time. And the Lord has not changed, dear people. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Brethren and sisters in Christ tonight in this prayer meeting, let us be those who make up the gap. Make up the gap tonight and stand, as it were, in the place of prayer, beseeching the Lord, seeking the Lord, as one prays, praying with that other brother and sister in Christ, praying along with them. Let there be no gaps tonight in this prayer meeting, but let us pray one with another and pray to the Lord for his help and blessing on his work here and further afield and in our land and in our nation, as the Lord would lead us this evening. We'll just get down to prayer this evening, and while we pray as the Lord leads us, I want you to pray very especially for the forthcoming mission in Lisbalaw in a few weeks' time now coming up. Just pray that God would be glorified in all that is said and done in the mission. Pray that the evangelists would be endued with power from on high, and those who testify or sing would be guided and directed by the Lord. Pray for the visitation, that God would go before in the door-to-door visitation. Pray that the unsaved would come in and get saved Pray that God's people would be revived and blessed. And let us pray as a people specifically for family, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, loved ones that we know, that even this time of mission will be a time when God will reach into their hearts and lives and save them by His grace and by His power. Whatever else, as the Lord leads in the prayer meeting tonight, encourage as many as possible to pray, men and women, young and old alike, and let there be no gaps. God is looking for His people to stand in the gap. And when there's a gap there in prayer, believer, you get in, and God will bless you and help you and make you a blessing to others in the season of prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we just thank Thee for Thy precious word tonight. Father, we thank Thee that Thou art one who is looking, who is searching for Thy people to stand in the gap. Lord, help us even tonight, Lord, to be gap fillers, to fill the gap, to stand in the gap, especially in the place of prayer as we seek Thee, O God, for Thy work here, as we seek Thee, O God, for our land and for our nation, as we seek Thee for Thy work further afield. And Father, we just would think very especially of the forthcoming mission in Lisbalaw in a few weeks' time. And we just pray, O God, that in all that is said and done in that mission, O God, that Thy name would be honored and glorified in the meetings. We pray for all those who would preach and minister Thy word, that each and every one would be endued with power from on high. We pray, Lord, that Thou would bless in the door-to-door visitation around the area, go before, open up hearts, open up homes and lives to the gospel. Father, we pray that Thou would bring in the unsaved and that Thou, Lord, would save them. And Father, we pray that Thy people in the mission and through the mission would be blessed and revived and quickened and encouraged in the ways of the Lord. Father, we just look to Thee to remember also the rest of the children's meetings this week, tomorrow night in Lisbalaw. Remember Maguire's Bridge Friday night here. Remember the youth fellowship and the services on the Lord's Day. May Thy blessing be upon them. And Father, we pray for the gathering in of the unsaved, and that Thou wilt save them by the mighty grace and power of God. Bless us now in this season of prayer. Lead us out in true believing prayer. Help us to pray. Lay upon our hearts the things that Thou would have us to pray for. And we rejoice, O God, tonight that Thou hast promised in Thy word that Thine eye is upon the righteous and Thine ear is open unto their prayers. Answer prayer now, we ask, and continue with us and bless us as we are on before Thee. For we ask it all in the Lord's great name. Amen.